Good morning, Bay Area.
Good morning. Good morning.
Brace yourselves for KNBR's Power Surge. The sports leader welcomes you to Murph and Max. Power Hour. On the mound, he broke hitters down.
And this one secures the shutout for Sean Estes.
And now on the mic, he breaks down the Giants. It's former All-Star lefty Sean Estes with Murph and Mac.
Sponsored by River Islands. Come home to River Islands in Lathrop and discover the San Joaquin River lifestyle with its lakes, parks, and schools. Start your tour today at riverislands.com. And by Dolan Law Firm, the best lawyers we hope you never need. DolanLawFirm.com.
On KNBR 104.5 FM and 680 AM, the sports leader.
All right, we love our Thursdays with Estes, and Tolbert and Copes love their Thursdays with Jeremy Affeld, who joins them at 3:15 today before the 3:40 pregame, before the 4:40 first pitch. Scott Alexander, the Cardinal Newman product.
And the vague kind of resemblance to John Franco. I'm staying with that one. Look up John Franco, kids, and tell me what you see. I see Scott Alexander.
He's on the hill today. My MLB app has the Brewers still on a TBD. Waterboy, you got a better app than me, buddy?
Yeah. I haven't seen any updates on who's throwing for the Brewers today.
I got a TBD. Is that Thomas B. Dorfman? Is that his name? I don't know. TBD. I don't know.
I'll go with that.
I'm just
sure.
Tim B. Davis.
Fine.
How's that? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
How about Terry Bradshaw, Donnie Wahlberg? I don't know. Anything works. Yeah.
Anyway, the Brew Crew, who's playing well, so it's a tough spot. Don't forget, I hope they don't run into that wrestler kid who threatened to fight me.
Yas.
Oh, that guy.
Yas. Describe the kid's physique. You could tell he was like
about 5'5", big forearms.
You don't mess with wrestlers.
Big neck muscles.
You don't mess with them.
Big calves.
They'll put you on the ground in a blink.
Cauliflower ears.
Yeah, that's enough. Yeah, you said enough. You said it all.
It's always the ears. Dead giveaway. It's always the ears.
This guy's got a cauliflower ear. I'm steering well clear
Stay
of that
the hell
kid.
Away from that guy.
And he actually, like, he looked like he was quick. Like, he would, like, run around me and, like, tie me up and then run around the other side and tie me up.
I've seen wrestlers take down big dudes. I've seen it.
That all happened in Milwaukee. All right, we're waiting for Sean Estes to get settled. He was in transit, and we're going to talk about the Giants losing yesterday. Listen, not going to make a big deal about that one. They took 2 out of 3 in Minnesota.
It was a short-lived stay at 500.
Well,
they got there, they got right back out.
A great line from Waterboy this morning about the workplace accidents. It's been this many days since we had an accident. Waterboy wants to sign up this morning. He said on the leadoff spot, which you should listen to, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m.
I recommend it.
He said there should be a sign-up one day since we've been at 500. You know what I mean? It's very funny.
Yeah.
Susan wrote in her story, she said, they still have not posted a winning record at any point this season.
Well, listen. Can I get a Russo? Listen.
Listen. And Paulie Mack, I was thinking about you this morning. The riff I almost went with was like a band where they're like in town for one night and one night only. That's the Giants right now with their 500 record.
Very
for one
good.
Night and one night
you
only.
You missed
the
it.
The
yeah.
Giants are at 500.
I'm liking all these very much so. Four in Milwaukee, I mean, realistically, can you split four? That would be great. You know what I mean? That would be amazing. You do have Webb.
Well, if they split four, they're still under 500.
This is true.
Okay, so I'm looking to get back to five.
Yeah. One night only.
That's it, yeah.
So the
Don't
other thing,
miss. You know what I mean?
If you missed it, it was one night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other thing I would say, and we're still vamping as we get to Sean Estes, just keeping the Estes army at bay. We will get to him. Just a second. He had to get to a spot where he
I would consider myself to be part of the Estes Army. When I first moved back to San Francisco in 96, like, Estes, what was his All-Star year, 97?
97, yeah.
Yeah, like, I really enjoyed him that year. He was a big part of that team. He was like their lead dog in the rotation. So if you're talking Estes Army, you're going to include Paulie Mack. I'm telling you that right now.
Well, then, guess what, Soldier? Because I think he's calling in.
Okay.
You're going to report
Soldier.
For duty.
That's right, Private.
You're going to report for duty right
Actually,
now.
Actually, let me give you the appropriate response, too, if we're going military. Murph, you know how I got to respond.
Sir! Yes, sir!
Okay. You're not a writer. You're a killer.
I'll give you the whole gamut.
You think you're some kind of writer?
Yes.
You're not a writer. You're a killer. You think you're Mickey Spillane?
Mickey Spillane.
Oh, man. Okay, guys, the connection making with Estes as the Giants are in Milwaukee to take on the Brewers. Brandon Crawford, not a great day yesterday, kind of creeps into our thing. Sean Estes, Casey, we lost Estes. Casey Schmidt strikes out 3 times yesterday. Brett Wisely makes 2 errors. And we're a little confused. We want to have this ironed out. Yesterday, Brandon Crawford was only charged with 1 error, but this morning in the box score, he has 2. and it looks like they assigned.
That's not fair.
Well,
you shouldn't wake up and all of a sudden there's another error sitting there next to your name. It's like, wait, is it? Well,
it's like, you know,
you already got
the old mama said there'd be days like this. You wake up in the morning and you get an alert on your phone that they added an error to your ledger.
Yeah, it's like, wait, time out, man. The game's already been played.
There's no way to start my day.
I already handed in the scorecard. What do you want from me?
We started our day great. Like, Waterboy was doing the hand drive at 5:58. That was a great day. And I found out Amy Boucher, his sister, did an entire What's Love Got to Do With It 12-year-old dance at a recital.
I'll do it right now again, Marcus. Me and you. Ready? 1, 2, 3 with the hands.
On the mic. Ooh, on the TV.
The hand jive, Pauly.
Right there. Keep doing it.
Yeah, so you got to go.
Another one. You got to keep doing it.
No, you got to go like this, like this, like this, like this, and then with the thumbs.
And what's the shoulder? What's the song?
Hand jive.
Hand jive.
I know, but how's it go?
Now can you hand jive, baby? Okay. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
that's at the dance.
The dance, yeah.
That where Stravolta shows up at the...
With the Latina, and then Olivia Newton-John gets all upset.
Yeah.
There's almost a rumble in the gym.
There you go. You got to know.
Ruff doesn't really ride with Grease like we do.
Oh, I do. I ride 100%.
Okay.
Saw it in the theater, everything, the whole deal.
In fact, we have our own Grease. Since we're buying time, I mean, I haven't done a Kapler tribute, I think, all damn year.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Hey, it's Gabe Kapler. Listen in to Murph and Mac.
This club could be automatic. Hydromatic.
I like the feel of it.
Ultramatic.
Yes. Awesome, right?
Why could be Grease Kapler?
No, it's a good question. Good question.
Go Grease Kapler. Issue game is the best for miles.
Grease Kapler. Go Grease Kapler.
Go Grease Kapler. You're trimming up your feet with a smile.
Grease Kapler. Go Grease Kapler.
You are supreme. The ladies scream. Go Grease Kapler.
It was creative. Enjoyed it. Look forward to our next discussion.
There's so
that
much
was good for my head.
First of all, I haven't heard that in forever. It sounded great. Some songs age better than others. That one aged very well.
Okay, good.
And all those insincere comments that he says in there. Yeah, that's a good question. I look forward to our next conversation. All the BS, right? He does not at all.
That's a really good question.
And then, dude, the fact that you just said the ladies scream and you nailed it.
Well, this is true.
We were talking to an unnamed... I'm not going to throw her under the bus.
I'm still recovering from that comment.
She was telling us you guys don't even know what's being said on the other side of the fence, on the women's side of the fence, about Kapler.
And that's an uninformed take.
She shared a quote that one of her lady friends had shared with her, and it actually rattled me.
It rattled me.
I'm like,
because
damn,
it was a little too detailed.
That's how the ladies talk amongst themselves.
Yeah,
interesting.
Interesting. When he comes out in the top coat and in the hip-hop shoes.
They like the hip-hop shoes and the long coat. What can you do?
Anyway, Estes said he needed a few more minutes.
Okay.
Maybe I almost had a riff there. I'm not going to do it. Oh, he's getting his bags checked at the airport. All right. Anyway, Crawford made two errors. He's hitting 172. I wrote a jock blog about Crawford in spring training where I was just like, you know, we had a man on that when you were gone, Paulie, and Estes and I did those shows. Three things happened. One, Alex Cobb was phenomenal. Two, Luke Jackson became our guy. Praise Dale and raise Hale. And he's due to come off the IL, I think, Monday. Like, this is a coming homestand. The bullpen's going to get a lot better. I love this guy. And then three, I had an emotional moment when Crawford came in. I was like, damn, this is him, the last of the old Lions. You know, he's the last of the old Lions. And I had penned an ode to him about just, you know, appreciating what he represented and symbolized. On a night where we're going to put Buster Posey into the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame tonight, you got Brandon Crawford still suiting up and going out there, and yet it's not going great, right? He's hitting 172. The OPS is in the 500s, and he made two errors yesterday. Now, he said after the game, hey, listen, it's a couple games. I made two in Detroit, two here. It's just a couple games. But obviously, it's a bad look. It's a tough look. It's something he doesn't ever do. These stupid metrics, Waterboy. How do we figure out defensive runs saved? There's just a computer tells. I think my biggest problem with analytics is that I have to wait for the thing to spit out of the printer to know how the guy's playing.
Yeah.
Whereas the old days, you used to watch the game. You know what I mean?
I would use my eyes. Concept. Jack Clark can hit.
Yeah. But right now they're saying his defensive runs saved is like -6 or something like that. And whereas in his best year, he's at a +6.
It's a great call, dude.
But
when I used to watch Jack Clark, I'm like, that guy can hit right there. He's a good hitter.
But I honestly wouldn't even know how they
yeah.
figured defensive run save. That was my biggest thing with WAR. They're like, hey, he's got a good WAR. I'm like, well, but how do you figure it?
And you know, there's like different websites that use different equations to figure out their WAR.
Right.
So and we probably don't know what different. WAR we're talking about.
Probably the same for defensive run save too.
Exactly.
All right, the connection has been made to Sean Estes on the UMA guest line. Y'all settled there, Lefty?
You're all good to go.
Not even close, but hey.
We appreciate the effort, man. We do appreciate it.
Who knew the school got out in Arizona and everybody and their mother left the next day?
Oh, so what are your duties right now? What's clawing at you here? What fires are you putting out right now?
Well, I guess none now. I'm trying to get checked in here at the airport, but like I said, it's been a zoo. School got out yesterday for most kids, and so I don't think parents can wait to get out of here.
Oh,
starting to hit triple digits here in Arizona, so people just they leave the next day. They're just people that get out of here, they go.
So the airport's a mess, is what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Usually is.
Gave myself plenty of time.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Yep. Credit card doesn't work. Trying to pay for a bag.
Oh.
It's like you have to go to the kiosk, the full service, and then full service is already jammed. That's where I was at. But, hey, apologize, guys. We're here.
You're
I'm
here, buddy.
I'm in Milwaukee right now.
You're going to Milwaukee. Yep. UNFP. The old teammates are going to be reunited up there.
That's right, yeah. I'm sure there might be a beverage or two exchanged.
Very good.
Living in the glory days.
Giants baseball, the team you're going to was on a roll, man. 7 out of 8, and then they threw one away yesterday. I mean, the kind of the attitude has been just flush it and move on, I guess, and they're playing really good. Your attitude about the team you're going to see in Milwaukee tonight?
Well, hopefully it's the team that we've seen the past week and a half outside of yesterday. Because yesterday was one of those games where, you get sure-handed guys making errors, and Wisely is one of the best defensive guys the Giants have. You have Crawford making errors, and we know how good he is. I think yesterday we kind of saw a little bit of a difference, and not a knock on Blake Sable, but just how good Patrick Bailey is behind the plate. Mm-hmm. Difference maker he is, just not blocking balls and calling games. And I mean, the numbers that he has, I mean, a short sample size with him, but the numbers he has with the pitchers since he's been behind the plate, they've been crazy. Like just the strikeout to walk ratio, stolen bases, pitchers don't have wild pitches. I mean, because a lot of times I talk about this with a good first baseman can cover up, some bad defense in the infield as far as throwing errors. You saw Brandon Belt do it for all those years. You make good plays, picking the ball, picking up your defense. Same thing goes for a catcher. Pitchers have to be allowed to throw the ball in the dirt. They have to be allowed to bounce a breaking ball once in a while. They have to be allowed to do that because that's where you have to try to get swing and miss, especially when you get two strikes. And sometimes you're just gonna grip a ball too tight, and you're going to end up throwing a dart in the dirt, and a catcher's got to pick you up. And a really good defensive catcher will be able to do that. And so I think we saw the difference yesterday. I mean, I'm not knocking Blake Sable at all. He hasn't had a lot of reps behind the plate in his career. But Patrick Bailey, I wanted to just point out how good he is behind the plate and what a difference maker he is, just controlling everything. Those pitches, those wild pitches, those, things that happen within the game, those little things, they make a big difference in the whole body of a 9-inning game. So defense yesterday obviously was not good. They threw a clunker out there defensively. And then, I mean, you got to look at missed opportunities as well. And that's kind of what they've been doing when they've been on this little stretch. But they've been getting that big hit with two outs. They've been getting a big hit, period. They've been getting the home run ball with runners on base. But yesterday, they just kind of put all the – they kept runners on base. If you want to really have a silver lining yesterday, they got a ton of guys on base. They were 2 for 16 with runners in scoring position. That just shows you there was opportunities. But they also left 15 of those on base. So if you keep creating opportunities in an offense, you're going to score some runs eventually, right? So that's the positive. It wasn't like they just went out there and threw a dud up offensively, but they just didn't get the big hit. But all in all, I expect this team to be the team we've seen the last week and a half. They give me no reason to believe they're not. I just day game after a night game, tough to win a series on the road, and swallow it, move on.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games,
player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Yeah, and they won the series and all that, and you're right. A little bit on Crawford. You know, you just talked about him and how good he is and everything, and there's that metric we were just talking about. There's a metric out there, the defensive runs saved. I don't know. We don't even know how it's figured, but he's not showing well in that. And he had the really bad day in Detroit and the really bad day yesterday. He's also not hitting. You know, it is early, but, you know, just your thought on what the Giants brass might be thinking about him and how much you play him and what he's thinking. You know, look, yeah, there's still plenty of time to have a good season, but it's not off to a great start, and it's not characteristic, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So what are you seeing?
Yeah, it's tough. It really is tough. I mean, you don't want to get negative on the guy, right? Because I mean, he's been so good for so long, and all of a sudden, like, he has a year like this year where just he's not hitting well. You know, there's some games where he just hasn't looked good defensively. Not moving as well. You know, he's already been a little bit hurt. You know, so you just wonder if you know, there's some injuries there, some like, you know, and he'll tell you, like, you never feel 100%. He probably will tell you he felt like that way his whole career. But he was also younger. His legs were fresher. He moved around the field better. You know, you could overcome a little bit of those nagging injuries. Right now, you know, it's not going well for him, man. You know, you know, he'll go out and he, to his defense, you know, he even said it yesterday. He's like, really, it's only been a bad few games this year. And on a consistent basis, he's been playing pretty good defense. So, but trust me, you talked about the defensive metrics. You talked about all that. That's what the Giants look at. Trust me. I mean, they're looking at the whole body of work as far as a defensive player. It's not necessarily the plays that they're making or not. It's the plays that they're not making that they should probably make that aren't errors, right? Balls that they're not getting to in the hole, balls are not getting to up the middle, throws are not being able to get off because they're getting the ball a little bit later. That's what defensive metrics takes into consideration. So they're not haven't been good for Brandon Crawford, and it's hard because at some point in someone's career, especially if you're a middle infielder, where there's nowhere to hide, right? You have to move all over the place. Now you can't shift guys and protect them and put them in the right spots. You know, you have to be more athletic right now. And, you know, and it just, everybody gets to that point in their career where they're just, you know, it's like, I can't do the things I used to do. And as long as, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's how much is he hurting the team? I mean, that's how you got to look at it. How much is Brandon Crawford hurting the team? If he's hurting the team, then there's got to be, you play him less to keep his legs fresh. So when he does play, he's closer to 100%. Or you just say that, you know, this guy deserves to be out there every day. You know, he's earned it, and you ride it, right? I don't see this regime doing that. So I don't know how long the leash is going to be. We've already kind of seen it, especially when you get a lefty pitcher, you're seeing Casey Schmidt play short or Tyro Estrada play short, you know, so they're already starting to do that with Brandon, not playing him every day, sitting him against lefties. But at some point, you know, he's got to show that he can hit. I think that would cover up a lot of the defense. If he starts to hit the baseball, then it makes more sense for him to play against right-handed pitching.
Well, something to watch for sure, and worth talking about. The other thing that's happened since we last talked to you, and you mentioned it about the Sable answer, is Patrick Bailey.
Here we go.
He got called up Friday morning. Yeah. We talked to you last Thursday. So, I mean, just kind of to recircle back on that, your thought on what you've seen so far, and it sounded like you like what you saw, and also what it means for Joey Bart, and also just this dude here to stay. Like, Bailey and Schmidt are the front of a movement that could be the next two, could be Matos and Harrison.
This is
right?
The next generation coming in.
Yeah, hit a little, play a lot of D. I mean, and you're going to be in the big leagues, and then figure it out offensively.
you know, don't be a liability offensively. You know, you can't, if you're hitting a buck 10, a buck 20, maybe even a buck 50, you know, that's probably not going to work. But, you know, when you make up, and I alluded to it early in our conversation about really how many runs he saves behind the plate. I mean, really, it comes down to that. It's, okay, if you're not producing offensively, you're not driving runs in, but you're saving runs, you're still in basketball, they call it a plus-minus, right? Or even hockey, it's a plus-minus. How, you know, your effectiveness when you're on the court, when you're on the ice. Well, you can look at that as far as defense and baseball is considered too, you know, right? How many runs is he saving behind the plate? So far, you know, and really, it's not even quantifiable at times because, you know, what kind of game is he calling? How many pitches is he stealing? I mean, they have some metrics for that as far as pitch framing, but how comfortable does a pitcher feel with you behind the plate? That changes the confidence of a guy on the bump. Just knowing that the catcher behind the plate, you know, knowing you can throw certain pitches in certain situations and he's going to block the baseball, or you can pitch to corners and know you're going to get some strikes called. It does wonders for a pitcher's confidence. And just calling games too, just in-game communication with players, in between inning communication with players, with pitchers, going over the, you know, the upcoming batters the next inning. I mean, that all goes into it. It's so far what I've seen and what I've heard from pitchers, they absolutely love throwing to him. They already feel like that they feel like he's already played 10 years in the big leagues just with how he talks to pitchers. Right. And how he works with them. And if you have a catcher that's on the same page as you and he's working just as hard as you are out there, man, that goes a long way. So I love what I've seen of Patrick Bailey. He was talked highly about in spring training, the defense. He obviously won a minor league gold glove defensively. So, you know, pedigree's there. But now he's at the big league level. How fast does the game speed up on him, right? And that's what you're waiting to see. Well, it hasn't sped up at all. He slows the game down. He just doesn't look phased at all. And then the hitting right now has been a little bit of a bonus, right? You know, you get hit from the right side. He got a home run from the right side. His first hit was from right side. He finally get a hit from the left side the other day. So, you know, the hitting's a bonus right now. And I think he's going to be a guy that can hit at the big level as well as Casey Schmidt consistently. But, you know, they're young. They're going to be exposed at some point. But really the defense doesn't go into slumps for those two.
Yeah, I mean, Bailey and Schmidt. Yeah, Schmidt, listen, Schmidt yesterday, just RBI single, also struck out three times. Are you seeing, you know, we didn't expect him to hit 450. He's down to 328.
Yeah, he's cooling off a little.
But, you know, there's the thing. We talked about this. We expected this counter adjustment.
Yeah.
We're seeing it, right?
We're seeing it, yeah. You know, when you see 37 pitches in a four-game series like you did against the Diamondbacks, you know, league goes on notice. This guy's very aggressive when he gets in the box. And obviously, it's not a secret. I mean, you know, the Giants hitting coaches are talking about that. They're trying to help him make adjustments on the fly here at the big league level. You know, and then in Minnesota, he started taking some more early strikes, which probably frustrated him because he's saying, why am I taking that pitch? Because I was swinging at that pitch a week ago and I was driving doubles in the gaps and hitting home runs and hitting the ball hard. Now you're caught in between. Like, what should I do?
Right.
You know, it's an evolution, man. It really is. But he's got I think he's got the bat, the ball skills. He's got the great hand eye. He's got the power. You know, he's willing to learn. I think that's what you love about a kid like that, that he's going to work hard to get better. You know, offensively, yeah. I mean, is he a middle of the lineup guy right now? No, because he just does not. First of all, he doesn't kind of fit the mold of guys that, you know, go up there and work counts, take pitches. He does swing at pitches for the most part that he can drive. Now it's a matter of, you know, not swinging and misses, not fouling those pitches off. When you get those pitches that you can hit, you can do damage with, you got to do that. And then obviously the chase is with the slider away he's been vulnerable to that. So, and that's just a matter of recognizing spin, seeing more big league pitching, knowing what pitchers are doing to you, knowing how they're going to attack you, and then making your adjustment from there. But I really believe that he'll be able to do that. I mean, he hit over 300 at AAA this year. He's been able to hit minor leagues everywhere he's gone. So I don't worry at some point he'll be able to make that adjustment.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. And like you said, he must be so frustrated. Wait, but that's a strike. I could drive that thing. So, all right, Brew Crew, what are you expecting? I mean, the Brewers were here earlier and the Giants played them well. As Kipe says, he thinks Corbin Burns pitches in every game against the Giants.
He seems to, right?
He thinks he's going to make four.
He's getting two starts in this series.
Pitching matchups. Pitching matchups. Been.
He is going Saturday, according to my MLB app. And they also pushed Logan Webb back to Saturday. That is of note, that he's going to not go tonight. They're giving him two extra days of that back tightness. So that is something to watch when you get there, Sean.
Yeah, Alexander is going to be opening tonight, I heard. And then... you know, I saw Logan on the trip. He said he's fine. They're just being very cautious, you know, and so the back's not an issue for him at all. He probably wanted to pitch tonight, but I think it's wise at this point of the year just to give him a day or two more to heal it. So I don't worry about Logan. But you're right, I think Burns will pitch Saturday and then he'll probably come in and close it down on Sunday.
Yeah,
why wouldn't he?
Exactly, man. All right. Well, hey, you had graduation yesterday, right?
I did, yeah. I saw the 18-year-old, you know, throw the cap in the air and got to see him walk yesterday, so that was great. It's always fun. I mean, those graduations go pretty long, but it's always fun to hear a kid's name called.
Does a Sean Estes get a little emotional when he hears the pomp and circumstance music and sees his son walking across the stage?
Oh, come on.
I didn't. I mean, I do, really? I don't. I mean, it's not emotional, like I'm shedding a tear. I got, you know, it's just kind of more reminiscing. But I'm more one of those guys, I let it settle in, and then I probably will start to, like, think about it over the next few days and get emotional. You know, and I live in the moment, you know. It's like, you know, he's graduating. It's a happy day for him. I got two more kids, too, by the way, that I got to go
That's
through.
That's right. I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Believe we know all about it, man.
People are going to be like, it's going to
hit.
My
last one.
It's going to hit you on the treadmill at the Milwaukee Hyatt.
All I got to say, Sean, is keep that wrist loose, man, because you'll be writing checks for years, okay?
There you go. Yeah, yeah. It'll turn more into frustration and anger.
Yeah. Wasn't so much emotion as it was anger.
Resentment is the word.
Totally,
resentment.
Totally.
Yeah. It's so funny. You're still bothering me, kid?
Yeah.
You're still draining money from a bank account?
Sadness.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listen, process the emotions in Milwaukee. Have a, what do they call it? The custard. You know, we always talk about brats and beers, but don't sleep on the cops custard there. That's really good. It's like a, Paulie,
the
it's like a
custard, obviously a broader four.
Yeah.
I got sauerkraut, brown mustard on mine. I don't know about you guys, but that's what I'm looking for.
Sounds good to me,
so
man.
So freaking good.
That sounds real
so
good.
So freaking good. And the cops custard, Paulie, it's like a richer, creamier version of ice cream.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
I'm in.
All right, Sean. Look forward to the broadcast this weekend, man. Thanks for hopping
on. Thanks, Sean.
Okay, guys. Thanks. Have a good week.
There he is. Sean Estes fighting his way through Sky Harbor Airport, where you and I have fought our way many times to tell you that you're listening to KMBR and KMBR FM, San Francisco, the sports leader at Cumulus Media Station.
Murph seen me do some of my best work at the Sky Harbor Airport, where I just go right up to the gate and I go, yeah, listen, my seat's no good. Can you move me?
True.
They usually do. Murph, I got to say something real quick, a little anecdote. Like earlier in the show, we started the show with some Tina Turner thoughts and memories, and I told Murph, I totally attach like a specific Tina Turner song to the Rangers winning the Stanley Cup. Let's juxtapose that and move forward to this segment where I also exclusively kind of attach Brian Murphy to the Verdue dynasty when you guys were in Milwaukee. So I'm not even kidding. When I hear brats now, I think about the Verdues. And when Murph went to the Verdues, he's like, my boys, I hook Murph up with.
It's like,
Murph, grab a brat.
Well, there's a lesson in there about how to treat people. Okay. So like how you are as a person. Because Mikey Verdue, I'd never met him.
Oh, he's rock solid,
but he's
man.
One of Paulie's buddies for years and years and years and years and years. And so,
Paulie says, the Brian Wilson game or the Brian Johnson game, for God's sakes.
Paulie says, you know, my buddy Mikey Verdue is going to be in Milwaukee. You guys should hook up. You guys should hook up. Out of respect to my guy Paul here,
I appreciate that.
I say very similar to you going to meet Mark Cannizzaro,
which I'll do again.
Okay, so
you just give me an opportunity.
But I said, you know, Mike Verdue and I text. We text. He goes, "You guys." I said, "I got like seven guys with me." He goes, "You're all invited to the tailgate."
That's how they roll. Yeah.
And when we arrived, Verdue's brother lifted up the top of the Weber.
They're the greatest.
And there might have been, I don't know, 12 to 15 grilling brats, and he's like
steam coming up,
and he was like, grab one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, they welcome you to the family
then,
like no
then,
other.
And then we're like, yeah, but we're not going to kill your beer supply. And he opened up the cooler.
Oh,
and
no,
said,
we're loaded here.
Yes,
grab
you
a
are.
Beer.
Yes.
Yeah, grab a beer. How many Verdues were on hand that day?
Just
roughly?
Two. Okay. But no, because then his son, so three.
Yeah.
So two, one generation. Well,
there's a lot of them, dude.
But
there's
anyway,
a lot
the point
of them.
Is, when in doubt, invite people, feed them the brat, and give them the beer. There it is.
We rest our case.
All right.
Yes.
The big hit. I can't believe we're doing this. There was big debate behind the scenes. But we are going to go there.
Okay.
Hey, the man. LeBron James to the Warriors rumors.
Here we go.
And here's the question. 808 KMBR, we're open for calls.
Yeah.
Do you even want it to happen? As you, the Warrior fan who's ridden with Steph, Clay, and Dre, do you want to see this scenario where in the final 2 years of his contract, LeBron James comes to San Francisco to fulfill his wish to play with Steph Curry? The Big Hit, next on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the Sports Leader.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.